listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the show, Your Ultimate Life today, LA Talk Radio. I'm excited today. We're going to have a little fun today, and we're going to talk about some things that are going on in the world. And I'm welcoming my business partner and best friend, Joy, to the show. Joy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
So I'm just fantastic. So I want you to tell me first, what's going on in the World Women's Soccer Cup stuff? All kinds of crazy things going on there. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, today, of course, I mean, everybody probably knows the news, but in the semifinals one was Sweden and Spain. And it was a bit of, okay, maybe the first 85 minutes were nil-nil. And then it's like in the last 5 minutes, boom, 3 goals, Spain 2, Sweden 1. So Sweden's, you know, I think they play for probably third place or something now. So they're out. And it's going to be Spain against the winner of Australia and England. So that matchup is, well, you know, early this morning. So next tomorrow morning. So that'll be really exciting to see. I'm rooting for the Aussies, the Matildas. I hope they get into the finals. But the fun thing about this Women's World Cup is that for the first time, there's going to be like a brand new winner. You know, United States is out. They crashed and burned. Canada, and you know, United States are the reigning Women's World Cup champions. And Canada, of course, they're the reigning Olympic champions, and they didn't even make it out of the round 16, which is extremely disappointing. However, you know, a lot of favorites were out. Netherlands got out. They were the runner-up the last Women's World Cup against the United States, who won. And so a lot of the big players who people thought that, yeah, they're going to, you know, do something. Japan as well. They were runners up a little while ago, not the last World Cup, but the cup before. And I think they won the year before that. So someone new is going to win. So that's, I think, really exciting. Spain and whoever else wins. You know, but watching these ladies, and some of them are teenagers, watching these women play, holy cow. You know, talk about determination. Talk about, you know, pushing through hard stuff. I mean, they play through injuries and all sorts of stuff. Not that that's always the best thing to do, but it just shows you that, you know, they're at this level. You know, this thing about mediocrity for them just doesn't exist, you know, and they have, you know, that you can just see it in their faces and their actions. They're fighting for every inch of that pitch and for every goal. So it's super exciting, but I'm, you know, a huge soccer fan. So, or football, as they call it, in the rest of the world.
Right. That's the reason I wanted to ask you about that, because number one, I know that you love it and you're excited about it.
Yeah.
But number two, the whole thing about brand new people, brand new stuff. There's a change over the new stuff, and that's happening in a lot of other areas too. Yeah. And I started with the soccer thing, but you've got stuff going on in, you know, this explosion of artificial intelligence, AI going everywhere. And you've got an explosion of, you know, different things showing up online in marketing. And, you know, there's just Web 3.0. There's this huge turnover. And the old stuff is on its way out. And if you're going to rise to the top, and we're talking about, you know, ultimate life and prosperity and everything here, you got to figure out the new stuff and get with the program.
You do. You know, interesting about AI. So I want to ask a question. So with Chat GPT, you know, when you go online, or, you know, in the program, I use something called Goody.ai, and that's by the master marketer and a good friend of ours, Armin Morin. He created this platform called Goody. He sort of took like ChatGPT and, you know, did it to the extreme. And so if you haven't checked it out, check it out, Goody.ai. It's spectacular. Anyway, so ChatGPT, when I used to use it, like, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, said, you know, in there would say, well, our latest stuff is for 2021 or something like that. Now I'm wondering, so I use, like, for Goody, because I don't use ChatGPT anymore. I use the platform Goody. So when I search for something now, the first place I go to is ChatGPT to Goody. How many other people do that? Like, I mean, I used to go to, my go-to was Google, right? And then I'd look something up on that and that. But now my go-to is AI. I find it faster. I'm thinking that the information is more reliable because it goes through all sorts of sources. I mean, maybe Google does too. I don't know, because they keep changing stuff with Google. But, you know, I wonder, I thought, how many people are using AI now as their go-to point for searching, for researching, as opposed to the old days, which is 4 months ago, for Google and YouTube?
Well, you know,
YouTube's my second place.
Well, you know what I think people don't think of AI that way. I think the big noise has been around, you know, that people are going to have write their books and write their courses. And there's all this hoopla about even, you know, musicians and writers and screenwriters and everything else are going to be put out of business. And what they don't understand is what it actually is. And so they think that it's just this stuff for writing, and it's not.
No,
Google, I mean, what it is it's an LLM, it's called a large language model, but it is simply the largest database ever created in the history of ever. And it is augmented literally day to day, week to week, month to month, and it's augmented from every possible source. And the interesting thing about it is Google is overrun with ads and with political bias and with suppressing this and stomping on that, and you can't read this, and you know, the censorship and everything else. The chat engine, OpenAI engine, and as you said, Armin Moore enhanced it, and there's some other people that are doing the same thing, but it's not anything. Like, it just tells you what's there, and so it has instantaneous access. The computers they've got running it are staggering. I've got a client, and you know who it is, but this client uses these artificial intelligence engines, not so much for writing, but he uses it for art and picture generation and rendering. And you know what he does? He pays 50 cents or 30 cents an hour for access to these supercomputers. So he will upload images, and he will buy access to 10 or 20 supercomputers to render these images. And so it's like, you know, some of the science fiction stuff that you've seen before, not recently, but it'll come back, where in the background you have these massive networked supercomputers. And so it's not that you have to have 47 video cards running in your machine. Like, you can rent this stuff by the hour in these enormous server farms. And so no ads, no politics, and this massive connection of supercomputers that has access to everything there is. And so it's not surprising, and people just haven't figured out what this OpenAI actually is yet.
And I think, you know, maybe because of some things like in the various social media platforms, you know, people are using, or they're looking at in one way, saying, oh, okay, I'm going to use it to write my this or write my that. That's just one area. But in terms of marketing and how you can use this as a marketing tool, I think the possibilities are endless. And I'll give you a very, you know, exact example. So, for example, you know, and the output of anything in AI is as good as the input, really. So whatever you put into it, how, you know, specific you are, that's what you'll get back. So I use it for, I'm using it now. Well, I guess I haven't for a bit. I want to create an image. So right now what I'm doing is I'm getting YouTube videos to the top of YouTube, like number one on YouTube, and most often at the top of Google as well. However, sometimes, you know, we get in our heads and you think, okay, what sort of thumbnail should I create? I'm not sure. So what I use AI for is I'll put in the specifics, you know, suggest a, you know, very persuasive image that I could use for, you know, whatever my parameters are, whatever the topic is, whatever the, you know, caption for Instagram or whatever platform is, and then give me two or three suggestions of what type of image I could use. And so there's no bias in there, I don't think, right? I mean, so then it spits out something like, hey, an image depicting this or an image depicting that. It's kind of like having your own, you know, sitting around in the old days, I guess, you know, where you'd be brainstorming with people. But this is like searching everything out there to give you this input, you know, and then so then I'd get back a suggestion. And often it's something like, I never thought of that. Yeah. And then even if you want to go further, you can say, okay, these are my branded colors. Suggest a combination of this, of what kind of image. So for example, should it be a duotone image? Should, you know, where you have those two different colors and they kind of, you know, gradient together, you know, what type of image? And it puts out something that it's like, no way. Right. And then if you have a graphic designer or you do it yourself, you can get someone to create that. But I tell you, that's for me, I mean, and that just takes a couple minutes. It's not like you have to hours of, oh gosh, what should I write? It's just like that. And it spits it out and you go, cool, accept or reject. And then move on.
So is it, does it, it doesn't spit out. It's a verbal description of an image and you have to go realize it.
Exactly. But it's very specific saying, you know, have an image of a person on a mountaintop that's facing you, that looks, you know, smiling, that has a background of blue. I mean, it'll get very specific in its output to you. And you can even put in your prompt, is what you put in to get the output. You can even prompt it by saying, I don't want to use this color. I don't want to use that color. I want to use, whatever it is, you know, and it'll give you that information back. And again, it's often something that person doesn't really, might not think of. And then you can take that and send it over to your graphic designer, or if you want to hire someone on Fiverr or Upwork. Pretty cool.
Have you ever, I was wondering if you've ever gone with that description on one of the, either the image boards or artgrid.io or Adobe Stock or any of those places with that prompt and see what it comes
exactly
up with.
Yeah, I do. I did actually. And I used it for one of our social posts, but I'm thinking I'm going to be using it again, that prompt, because you have a book coming out in October and a box set, a brand new book. That's just fantastic. You guys are going to be blown away by it. And I'm going to put in there, cause you gave me a couple of prompts the other day, but I'm going to put it all this information into the AI and see what does it suggest for me and see maybe how close, or I think what it'll do is it takes me from where I am now, which is on, you know, over on, you know, 10% or whatever, and take me maybe over to 60 or 70%. And then the 30% will be the realization of that, those promptings and that image suggestion. So I just think that's really cool, because a lot of the time I find, whether it's me or other people, you can waste a lot of time thinking, brainstorming, getting back in your head, getting confused, listening to, this is the worst, right? Listening to external sources of people who say, no, you should do this or you should do that. A lot of people get confused by that. I've worked with clients like that in the creative realm in publishing, where, you know, I think we're sort of on the right path, and then they go talk to five people and their neighbors and their dog walker's best friend's cousin, and then come back with something completely different. And I think trying to get rid of that as a person who wants to create something, I think you can eliminate all that stuff and get clarity in your messaging as well.
So what it sounds like to me, I mean, there's all this noise about AI taking away jobs and ruining people and taking over the universe and whatever, and whether or not the robots ever rebel and, you know, attack us is a different question, and we'll do that on a different day.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing now is this whole drama about AI replacing anything sounds to me more like it's going to eliminate mediocrity. It's going to force people who use it to drive to the highest level of excellence. And it's like having a team of really smart people at your beck and call to bounce your ideas off, to reframe them, to reword them, and to talk you know, to you in different ways about what you could actually do. That's what it sounds like to
me. Absolutely, right? And you know, I mean, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, he's obviously embraced AI, and he, you know, says to people that if you're not embracing it, like, you're more missing the boat. Maybe some people are afraid of it. Maybe they do. You know, there was, okay, sidebar. There was a movie that I saw advertised on either Prime or Netflix or something. Was that there are robots that look like humans, and then something happens and they rebel and try and wipe out the human population. I thought, robots gone bad. That's not what it was called, but anyway, it's just a sidebar of maybe, but that's in the future, right? This movie was set in 23 something. It's like, ain't gonna be there.
We'll see. True, but anyway, so what I'm hearing in the context of the soccer we started with is the new generation of tools is here. The new generation of techniques, the new generation of abilities. My client, it's an artist, is using them. You're using them. And what you're finding is embracing the ability. What it reminds me of is before libraries were available all the time in every big city, anything that you knew came from, you know, either some teacher you had or some few books that you read that your, you know, parents or uncle happened to have in the library or happened to have in their personal collection. Yeah. And when libraries came to town and they were, you know, came to big cities and libraries and books and things, then all of a sudden this information was available and you had to go get it. You had to go to the library. And then the internet came and all that library of stuff expanded and the biggest libraries of the world were now online, but you still had to go get it. This is another version of that. We're now even more current and fulsome libraries are available in an instant that can understand your requests and go look at all the books in the library in the universe for you really fast and bring you back some answers. And it doesn't think for you. It'll give into your parameters or listen to your parameters and then look, do all that research and give you stuff back. Now, you mentioned something about prompts a minute ago. Tell me, tell the audience, me, what is this about prompts? And you said what you get is only dependent on how, you know, what, garbage in, garbage out, or good stuff in, good stuff out. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Okay, so you're going to do, let's say, a long-form sales letter or video sales letter for a funnel you're building, let's say. I mean, obviously, this isn't, we're not talking to the super beginner of marketing here. But you have something you want to create, I'll say, you know, for a funnel. And if you just say, I have, you know, I want to sell my product, you know, write me a sales letter. You know, I mean, that's, it'll spit out something. It'll get some big, long text that you can copy and, you know, paste it in there, but it's not going to be specific to you. It's not going to be specific to your product. So if you say, you know, I have a product that helps to, a 10-part video series designed to eliminate fear, you know, the benefits being these 4 points. And sometimes in Goody, anyway, you don't even have to put what the benefits are. You can prompt it to say, give me 5 benefits. This is what my course is about. Write me a sales letter in this persuasive tone or informative, kind of like how Frank Kern or somebody else would write it. You'll get something very specific. And that is the difference. Whereas you've just, if you just use general, you're just, then you'll get it and say, well, this stupid thing doesn't work. That's no good. I can't use this. And you're probably right. You can't use it. The more specific you are, just like going to the doctor or when you're ordering something, the more specific you are in what you want, that more you'll get that specificity in your output.
So that means the more intelligent effort you put into crafting your request, the more helpful the tool can be.
And you don't get twisted around and saying, oh, you know, agonizing overnight and wringing your hands about what to put into the AI, the prompts. Just be as specific as possible. If you already have something created, let's say you do have an online course and you have an outline or you have an introduction, take that introduction, put that into the prompt and say, write me a sales letter. This is what my program's about. It's, you know, $197. I offer a free trial. and it'll give you something that you can pretty much use as is. You may want to change a few words to make it your own, like how you would say it. But other than that, and I think AI is starting to get, I see a mosquito, smart enough that it can start to remember or recognize your tone and your voice. I think I've read that somewhere.
Well, that's the thing. It literally has access to everything that's online.
Yeah.
And it's getting better and better.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm going to do that. Hey, that's a great idea. I'm going to write in there and say, write it like Kellen Fluke would write it on me.
I want you to. I was just thinking that.
I want to see what would come up. Well, you've been around a long time in the online world, and you have a lot. I mean, if somebody Googled your name, there's like thousands and thousands of stuff that comes up from old stuff, new stuff. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. I don't know if I've done that, but I'm going to check it out. Write it the way Kellen would write it.
Well, I'm sure that you'll get something. I'm
going to write that down. Yep.
No doubt. So you mentioned something earlier, and
I did.
I want you to talk about this, something about duotone. Now, you're a designer, and you've been doing design for a long time, website design, you know, many years ago and all the way through our websites and color schemes and color palettes and all this stuff. So talk about this newer or revitalization of this thing called duotone. What is that?
Well, okay. So, you know, we started watching this program on TV, but we were watching it through Apple TV. And sometimes when you watch a network through Apple TV, the commercials come up. And what I was noticing with a couple of the commercials coming up, these are new commercials. These aren't from some retro 20 years ago or whatever it is commercials. These are new. And what I noticed in the coloring and the graphics and the outlook is that it has a very retro feel to it. You know, they have colors like, you know, pink and yellow together or pink and green, but not like dusty rose and it's kind of a forest green kind of colors, but like bright colors mixed together, bright and sometimes light. And when you put those two colors together, it creates something called a duotone. Duo, right? Two and tone. And it creates this really interesting effect. Now, we saw that on a commercial like today. We saw it when we were watching, you know, an episode of that show today. And I keep seeing that. And then in another commercial, there was also featured not quite duotone, but almost bright, clashy colors. And that seems very much harkens back to maybe the 1990s somewhere when they have those kinds of colors. And I just got to thinking that, okay, so this is what we're seeing in advertisements today. That must be something that people are starting to use in their marketing today as well. So I went to a program that does video editing because I use Descript. I use a couple of others. And they just uploaded some new templates. The new templates were, guess
duotone.
What? Duotones they were using and very bright colors. And so, of course, you would make it your own by maybe using your own branded colors. But that just to show you that, you know, what's happening now, what you see in commercials. That's why I love watching advertisements and commercials on TV. A lot of people like to fast forward and skip through them. But you can learn a lot about what's working because these big companies spend millions of dollars on marketing, do they? I would think they would, right? Some of the big companies. At least.
At least.
So that's and they're market research must tell them that this is what people are looking for to, because they obviously want to sell their product. And that's what I saw. I thought, interesting colors, because I had been looking at that, I think a couple of weeks ago when I was doing a thumbnail for one of your videos, and I decided to go with the duotone. It was about two weeks ago, I think. And interestingly, when I put it side by side, that thumbnail, the new duotone one, with another thumbnail, and there's a program that a lot of people use called TubeBuddy, like TubeBuddy, Buddy, TubeBuddy. And they have a thumbnail analyzer. I think it's still in beta, but I've been with TubeBuddy for many years now, so I have access to this feature. it's a thumbnail analyzer, and it uses the heat maps of things as to where the average person, their eye would go to in this thumbnail. And it was like, I think I told you the statistic. It was like, 1,800% for the duotone thumbnail as opposed to for the traditional, normal, regular type of thumbnail. And I thought, how interesting. Now, that's today. Of course, 6 months, that'll be different. But, if we're living in the moment of today and of a marketing now, you got to go with what is, not what used to be or think of. And I just want to touch on something else to do with marketing. A lot of people, you talk to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people. A lot of people are very free with their opinions, saying, gee, Kellen, let's update some of your branding. Let's take a look at that. Now, I always look at the people who are providing this magical insight. I look to see what their branding is, first. Often, this has happened so many times. There was one person that suggested some kind of branding, but yet their own branding was using a photo of them as their main branding of, 40 years ago or something? And, then I'm getting emails from this person. I'm like, well, who is this person? That's not the same person. It doesn't even look remotely like them. But of course, this is a 30 or 40 year old photo, right? So I'm not going to trust that as a expert into what branding is. Now, between us, you and I, we spent many hours going through colors, look and feel, the places that we're going, what we want to convey, and that took a lot of thought and work and effort. And then we handed it to our designer to come up with some type of palette that, would stand out. And some people just don't like it. They, the people who say we got to update your branding, they don't like it. And when I ask them, I say, okay, so what would you suggest? Then you hear crickets, or you don't hear crickets, or whatever the phrase is, right? And they can't give you an answer, because the sort of the shtick, I guess, is for you to go through that exercise with them. They're going to change everything around. And, I discount that today, because I think we know what we like and like to keep up to date and keep up with what's happening in the design world. I belong to one of the international design organizations. So, you start to see the trends that are happening. But the most important thing is really, so Kellen, in your opinion, do you think somebody is going to either hire you or not hire you because of a particular look and feel of a post that somebody may or may not see on social media?
No, the best that it can do is get your attention so you look further.
Right.
If a certain kind of post, stop the scroll is the words, it'll oh, wow, what's that? That's the very, very best that it can do. And I think your comment about how telling it is the people providing expertise. I was thinking about this, we're about your ultimate life here, and I've got the Ultimate Life Challenge on the screen and everything else. But the key is what you said. Are they walking the talk? Does someone who's coming to give you advice about anything, are they a demonstration of excellence in their own, whatever it is? If they're advertising branding, is their branding a demonstration of excellence? If they're going to help you write a book, are they a demonstration of excellence in book writing? If they're a coach, are they a demonstration of excellence in getting coached and in participating in growth? If they're going to walk you through a physical development program, like hiring someone as a physical trainer who can't take care of their own body is a stretch. So you look, what you're saying is you look for that demonstration of excellence in their own branding, and their own branding is one area, but the thing that they're trying to sell, are they demonstrating some excellence, in that area before it's interesting in terms of getting trust and credibility to ask for your money or ask for your time?
Yeah. Well, and here's a tip for people. So, as a designer, we come up with a palette for people. Now, So, I mean, I work with authors. I work with people, you know, to create a social media campaign for them and to create certain graphics supporting that book release. And what people need to remember, too, though, is a book is just one product. You know, it's not your entire world for the most part. You know, I mean, we know a couple people and they've been on your show where they've done one book like 10 years ago. And that's the one book that they've created. But yet when you look at their social postings, they don't use those kind of colors. So they don't use, you know, it's just for that book cover. So when in designing, let's say your color palette, which we have a range of like a dark, 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 dark blue, you know, the hex code is whatever it is, to a light, to a particular tone of orange. What people need to remember is that, you know, there are a couple of really good sites. If you search for hex codes on the internet, put in, you know, hex code color, you can put in, let's say, a color that you like, and it'll give you a whole range of shades, which are the darker ones, and tones, which are the lighter ones. So using that, most people use five colors in a color palette. So if you have five colors in a color palette, you can go up or down tones or shades along that line of colors, and you'll be perfectly well within a good look and feel. You know, it's not going to be some color way out there that doesn't match with your chosen palette. So you have an infinite range of colors between tones, your base color, and shades to work with to create any kind of marketing program, plan, course, whatever it is you want to do. You know, so you don't need to be stuck in a particular thing. And that's where I think I get a little irritated when people say that, because it's like, I question. So it's like, well, what do you mean? Show me what you think. But why is it that nobody can tell me that?
I think what they're trying to do is talk you into hiring them to go through the exercise, which is what you said. But I want to go back to something you said a little bit ago. So you talked about, and your thing on the page there says Red Aussie Multimedia. And one of the things you do really well is publish books. And you talked about, you know, your birthday is 2 months from yesterday. Today's what, August 15th? Yeah.
Ah,
so October 14th is your birthday. Yeah. And so I need to know what you want for your birthday, but not on the show. So by your birthday, which is 60 days, we're going to have another book. We're going to have a book launch. I saw with John Kramer, one of his suggestions was to do a live stream, like a long one, like Daryl did at the Vid Summit, but do a long live stream your book launch and, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm going to think, you need to think about that. But I want you to talk about this book that's coming, and not just the book, but the four box sets. Like, we've got four books that are a quadrilogy, if that's even a word. The way I liken it is The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, but it's four books. Yeah. It started with one, and then there's three more, and we're going to, the fourth one is just finished, so we're going to publish that separately and then put a box set of the four together because it completes the series. So talk about that in the context of marketing and what we're doing to build up to that. And the purpose of that is, one, a little publicity for us. That's fine. But two, also to talk to the audience that might be listening about the thinking process of preparation and marketing for a big event like that. That's 60 days out still.
Well, you know, and 60 days, I mean, that's really the perfect time to start doing that. 8 weeks out is perfect. You know, we don't have a cover. We don't have a color. We kind of have a bit of a concept, but it hasn't been realized or actualized at all. Now, some people do. They start to create teasers. Now, there's some really good programs out there where you can start creating, of course, a cover reveal. You can start creating the short videos that almost act like a logo reveal or cover reveal, but have more of a, you know, coming soon, this book, without the cover. And then just start putting those feelers and teasers out. One of the things that a lot of people do, and it's a good idea to do, is have excerpts of your book to use as pieces of content. And, you know, you start to train people to look for those, to look forward to those. that's one of the things that we're going to do. Now, with this box set, now, you know, three of the four books are done. So we're going to do this fourth book in this set. Now, this book will be released as a standalone in October. But we're also creating a box set of all four books. That's Meeting God at the Door, Contact, Book of Context, Walking Without Fear, and this latest one. I haven't said the title. Do you want to say the title, or are we going to save that for something?
We'll save it, but there's a fourth one in that series.
Fourth one in the series. And so the idea then to create the box set is to have brand new covers for, you know, just like record used to do, you know, a box or CDs or something, or the Harry Potter books, and they'd have a limited edition box set with specially designed covers. And that's what we're going to do for this as well. And the other thing that's going to be cool is we're going to integrate AI into that. So the covers are going to have what are we going to do? It's almost like a motion kind of thing we're doing with it, right? Like with a QR code, and it has a pop-up, and there'll be some interaction. What is that called? It's escaping me at the moment.
Augmented reality.
Augmented reality, exactly. And if you don't know what augmented reality is, look it up. It's still pretty new, and some of the things that I've seen, you know, live with AR are a little bit clumsy yet, but, you know, we're thinking in a couple of months, some of these things should be ironed out. You know, so it's going to be more interactive, and interactive, where you'll be able to, you know, meet the author. So meet Kellen, and pop-ups will come up with, you know, certain Kellen reading a portion of the book. It's just really cool stuff that's just coming out now. And we're going to embrace that and have these specially designed covers in a box set. It's a lot of work that goes into creating a box set because, you know, you have to actually fit it in the box. And that's not it's not really a cheap undertaking too, when you consider that most books are these trade paperbacks, and, you know, you put them up on Amazon and Ingram, and they're not very much per book. But this is meant to be usable. They're business books. There's stories in there that are true real life stories, but they also have messages as well.
One of the things we're going to do that's different. It's like you think of when you have this extended edition, like I use Lord of the Rings as an example, but right. There's Star Wars and others where they have director's cuts and they have more stuff in them. So the books that are in the box set, we're going to have QR codes in there that provide videos that are interactive, and not interactive, but I mean videos where there's a bonus content, like a bunch, to talk in depth. And yes, I'm the author, and so yes, I'll be in those, but I'll be talking about things that aren't in the books. It's additional material, additional stories about these things, because these are nonfiction books. So these are not stories that are fictional. These are real stuff that are in the coaching self-help world, and starting with when I died in 2018, and since some other experiences since then that have happened, and things that I've learned along the way, that it just made so much sense in the conclusion of this to put these together and then add all this bonus content. And what's fun, since we were talking about Chat GPT and artificial intelligence using in video and art and everything else, is the ability to scan these QR codes and bring up videos and stuff like that. That'll be a significant bonus content and exercises and other kinds of things that will enhance the experience. Yep. And so we're going to do that for this box set that comes out mid-October. And it's also something that you should look into. You could use that kind of thing for your products. You can use that thing for books that you do. Because QR codes aren't just those plain funny looking things. You can get beautiful QR codes that are works of art by themselves.
Yeah,
they're works of art. So works of art that are QR codes that then open up a whole, you know, library of additional content and stuff. So we're pretty excited about this, and I'm just excited about it. And I got a special person that I never thought I would get to write the foreword for this fourth book. And so so...
This is like world-class mind-blowing. You know, Kellen, here's the thing too, though, when you look at, let's say, from a marketing perspective, something like this, because this is quite an undertaking to create this, you know, using AR, using AI, using, you know, not just a cover that, you know, on Fiverr, although I use Fiverr as well. It's a wonderful platform, but getting an artist to create these things and then having this experience with the QR code and the video, from a marketing perspective, that brings you a step closer in the, what we always use, know, like, and trust. That just moves that trust, getting to the trust factor a lot closer than if you just picked up a book off a shelf and read it. You know, this is a lot more being immersed in your world. And I mean, you know, if I were looking at something saying, gee, I mean, this Kellen guy keeps popping up in all these videos and I got this book, that's pretty impressive. And I think that just, you know, that investment, you know, in the time and the money, in the, you know, blood, sweat, and tears that's going to go into creating this is going to be worth it. And it does set you apart from the people who aren't doing this.
Well, you think about this. So in traditional publishing, or whether you're publishing a book, you're publishing a course, or you're selling something online, when you just have a do-it-yourself, and we used to buy paper, so you bought a book and you read it.
Yep.
Then we changed that by having narrators, and people read the book. And if you know, now the author often reads the book. And in fact, if you get a book read by someone else, you feel a little, not as good, because you want to hear the author. Why? Because it's the author. Now you take it the next step. So the videos that you would put in your material and that we're going to put in ours is the chance to have connection with the author, which is one step above the narration. It's stories and explanation that are face to face that are peppered throughout these volumes. And so this is going to be a real significant undertaking, but it is an opportunity to use this emerging technology to set you completely apart and do something, offer your gifts and talents to the world. And I've said this before, like, you have your triple helix, you have your existing skills, whatever you've been selling in the market, you have your natural gifts, and you have your life experience. And when you weave those together, you have an offering to the world that's different than anyone else's. And the more in depth you can share that offering with truth and vulnerability and, you know, really share. That's what people love to see. That's why reality shows are so popular. That's why people love the realness of it, the truth, the vulnerability, behind the scenes, backstage. All of those things are part of this. This is like coming backstage in an author's life or a product creator's life and having the ability to connect in a true, authentic way and see what's really going on, so that the principles and ideas, and these are all, like I said, nonfiction, that's the kind of stuff that it is, you get a way to connect and understand that you won't have any other way, except if you start to use this. It's a place where you can really jump in and leverage the power of this additional help. So instead of being afraid of it, you look at it as high-powered help that's available right now that you can have.
Yeah. That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. All right. So what I want to talk just for a minute about, that's what we're doing with this book, the book set that's coming out. And we'll talk about the name, and you'll see some readings from it, and you'll see a picture. There's a graph in it and a bunch of other parts to it that are really powerful. So we're done talking about that now. Okay. As we talk about this for the last few minutes, I want to talk about something that we talked about the other day called energetic framing, which is about how you're being in the world.
Yeah.
So I said that to you the other day, and I want you to say what is that? When I explain the word energetic framing to you, what is that? What did you come away with?
I knew you were going to ask me something like that. Well, see, when you said this the other day, I mean, you had tears in your eyes when you were describing it, like what that feels, that energetic framing. And so what I hear is that, you know, when I'm explaining something, or when people ask you what you do or what you sell, or, you know, on a video, because obviously, you know, you want to hear and see the person. When you hear that, when you see that, I think we kind of know in our minds, like when people are like trying too hard to impress, or, you know, something just feels kind of squirmy or weird. But with this energetic framing, and this isn't, I mean, this is individual. So my energetic frame is going to be different from Kellen's energetic framing, from anybody else's, because it's ourselves. But it's relaying information or describing something in a way to communicate to somebody else that really, I want to say, convince someone to really do just about anything you want, because it's so powerful and so believing that it just comes across as true. Not to say that people can't get snookered, but is that kind of where you're going?
It is. And there's a phrase that I use, and it's this. It's I say truth carries its own power.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, if you're listening to somebody and they're BSing you, your meter goes off. They're trying too hard. They're phony in they're phony in their approach. Your video's frozen, Joy. You might want to turn it off and back on. They're stuck.
Oh, it is?
They're your mouth is open in your explanation. Your video's frozen. But anyway, so turn it off and back on.
I don't see that.
Yeah, well, it's frozen on this end. But anyway, when someone's telling you the truth, you know it. And you don't need all kinds of extra words. There is something that is part of a conversation that's in the fabric of it that is truth. And we know when people are BSing, and we know when there's truth being spoken. And when you are being completely transparent and authentic, and the reason I was emotional the other day when I was talking about it is I was realizing that we as humans, we have the ability to be vulnerable and truthful to each other and communicate, now you're unfrozen, heart to heart, and in a way that is true to the soul. And that's where authentic communication takes place. And I would argue that's where the most valuable business takes place. Yeah. So your ultimate life is not just about woo-woo stuff that is squishy. It's about cash. It's about truthful and business on an authentic level where value is provided, where we actually, like when people used to trade corn for beans, you know, you grew beans, I grew corn, we traded, we each got something we could use. Business is really like that when it's done in an authentic way. And your energetic frame is the truth of what you say. The energy you bring to a conversation is your frame. And if you bring fear to the conversation, if you bring neediness, like, oh, I need you to do this, all of those things are a bit repulsive. But if you bring authentic desire to love and serve and help and give the value that you have in exchange for real value, I don't care what you're selling. Authenticity is authenticity. Truth is truth. And if there's not a match in need, then there's not a match, but there's no negativity associated with that. If I come, you know, offering you shoelaces and you don't have any shoes that use shoelaces, you don't need what I have and it's not a problem. Yeah. And there's no inauthentic convincing. There's no sell me a pen. There's none of that nonsense that goes on with the feeling of sales. It's a genuine, truthful, vulnerable, authentic exchange of information, ideas, and goods and services. And so when you communicate that way, in that kind of truth and honesty, then you can do business anywhere and sell anything that you have to sell, not when people don't need it, but you're able to find those and overcome the idea and the jadedness that we have of, is this really going to work? Are they trying to sell me something? You can eliminate all of that stuff. That's what I was talking about.
That's great. And, you know, one of the keys to that too, though, is like, okay, great. You have the greatest message you have. But you also need to get that in front of people. So people do have to open their mouths and either appear on podcasts or a show like this or do live streams. You know, video does come across. And if you're not good at it, practice. That's, you know, you're not, most people aren't born with that skill. And so you have to learn certain things and you have to get better and more comfortable and stop, you know, get rid of the ums and the ahs and whatever are else are those things in between and practice, right? Isn't that how you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, 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 or whatever the... saying is?
It is. And, you know, we've basically come to the end of our hour. So as we wind up, Joe, I want to give you the last chance to say anything in terms of marketing, in terms of telling the truth, in terms of giving your all to your customers and service. Do you have any final words?
You know, don't settle for mediocrity. There's so much of that in the world. And that's where I like to use the sports analogy, especially with the Women's World Cup. You know, many of these teams, these gals, they are working hard. They're not playing at this level. They're playing at the level at the World Cup level. We can live in that World Cup level as well. We don't have to settle for, it's good. It's so-so, unless you want to, but we don't have to. I think the bar is getting set higher and higher, and embrace that, or I think you're going to be left behind.
I want to thank all of you for watching today, because the truth of this is that you don't have to settle for mediocrity. You don't have to settle for the easy and obvious. You have capability to be excellent, to give all that you have, and to sell, to provide, to live in truth, in honesty, in transparency. And in that context, provide everyone with good stuff and have in your own heart the ability to live your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.